Thank you for that message and song this morning. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. This is a chapter that, as we began the chapter, we were caused just to rejoice in the person of Jesus. In his person, those first four verses, his person and who he is. In his great love that he has for us, and the next verses down through verse 13. What a great passage of scripture, as we've seen, his love and his care that he has for us. We've seen the effect that he has upon his people, in verse 14. In verse 15, we saw the need of examination. It's something that he's cautioned and told us here throughout the book of Hebrews, that we've seen these passages of needing for that examination to make sure that we are of the faith. There's been in the last verses that we saw in verses 16 and 17, a revealing of the ungodly. But now we come to verse 18. In the next verses, we see verses that are coming to show us a great contrast. That contrast is defined. It's very easy to see the section there, because in verse 18 it begins with, "For we are not come unto the mount that might be touched." When we go on through these verses, we'll come to verse 22 that says, "But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem." There's a great contrast as the writer here is seeking for the Christians that to whom he is writing understand the contrast of that of what as he refers back to that passage, the passage of scripture in the Old Testament, when the Lord was there to give the law. We're not under the law, but instead, as we will see, as you go on in that passage, we're under the place of peace that is there with God. Sometimes we wonder how aware we are of holiness. What does it mean that God is holy? What are its demands that it places upon man? And what is the severity of the consequences when that is not followed? I think because we live in a time under the mercy and under the patience of God, we don't realize sometimes the severity of those consequences. When he says, as he said in the past, as he said at the time of the wickedness in the time of Noah, "My spirit will not always strive with men." Our God is able to still the winds and the waves, or to choose to allow their destructive forces to go unchecked. The reference that's given here refers back as God was revealing himself to Israel. He was revealing himself and his power and his holiness, and also his grace. We have in that passage the presence of the one who's coming to give the law. And the Lord was going to give his law to Moses in this passage that he's referring to. When it says, "We are not come to the mount that might be touched," he's speaking here of a time when he is going to be present there at the mount, and at its foot, at the foot of the mount, our sinful man. So we're going to look at here, as we look at here, where we are not come, as he begins there in verse 18. For we are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore, for they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. They come to a mount. He says, you are not come to the mountain that might be, you're not come unto the mountain that might be touched. It seems a little confusing maybe when you see that they were not allowed to touch, or even the beast to touch the mountain. But I think what we see here is the fact, he's speaking here of that physical mountain. It was a mountain that could be touched. It was a place, it was that place where the Israelites had come to. It was a mountain there that stood before Israel. A mountain before them that they could touch. They could walk in it. It stood before him. But it says that as they came to this mount, of which he's saying, you as believers have not come there, but what was that like? He said it was a mountain that burned with fire. It burned with fire. God is revealing himself here in the awesome power of fire. It was a sight that struck fear. It struck fear into their hearts. It speaks of, if we were to go to Deuteronomy chapter 4, where it talks about this some. It says, it talks about that day that you stood before the Lord in Mount of the Lord thy God in Horeb. Beginning in verse 10, it speaks of this. When the Lord said unto me, gather the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. It says, he came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire under the midst of heavens. In the 12th verse, it says, the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. It was a great sight of awe. You know, we speak of things that are, we use the term loosely, something that is awesome. This was something that was truly awesome. In the end of the 12th chapter, it says, for our God is a consuming fire. As the mountain, they're burned with fire. I can imagine that Israel stood there with their mouths open, not able to stop, not able to close them, just like at the awe of what they were seeing and the power of the fire as it burned with fire. Our God is a consuming fire. We hear much of the love and the goodness of our God and the forgiveness of our God. Sometimes we need to recognize that God is also a consuming fire. Even as the Lord said to them, as I read to you there from Deuteronomy, he said, I will make them hear my words that they may learn to fear me. There is a sense in the fear where there is that respect. There is that, and I have heard some take that take passages on the fear of God and just make it simply that, without recognizing that we need to truly fear God.
Amen.
There needs to be a trembling before our holy God, not just that I respect him for who he is. God, it's hard to me to visualize what it was like there at Mount Sinai. It talks here about the scripture talks about the smoke going up to up into the heavens. We see it talks a mountain that's burning with fire. I mean, we have seen some destructiveness of fire. We see the destructiveness of volcanoes and things. This was something that was not just a natural phenomena, but this was God demonstrating his presence as he is as a consuming fire. And yet, it's interesting in the next part of the verse. It says, no, you've not come unto that mountain that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness. Unto blackness and darkness. How do you put fire and darkness together? I mean, we think of fire. Fire gives light and as such. I believe it's a picture of the immeasurable distance between sinful man and a holy God. Though revealed in fire, yet in some way it was obscured in darkness. A darkness that separates a sinful man from a holy God. We saw God do that when he separated his people, when they were in Egypt, and there was a time when the Lord put a impenetrable darkness between Egypt and his people, so they were not able to come and to cause harm to Israel. It's interesting that hell is described as a place of fire and brimstone, and something that's always kind of made me wonder in my mind, but it's also talks about those that are cast into outer darkness. I think about that, and I recognize, those that say, well, my friends are going to be there. I'll have a lot of friends there. How foolish. They may hear the terror, but it says there'll be an outer darkness. There's a burning of fire and brimstone, and yet there is a darkness. And it's, how in Matthew it says that if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. And if thy light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Oh, the separation that there is between sinful man and a holy God. I don't know that I can explain. I'm just giving you some things there as it talks about the blackness and the darkness. But here are a people that are sinful. And here are a people that need to recognize there is a holy God. There is a holy God that is, he's coming to give them his law. That they need to understand that there is a separation between them and the Holy God. And so there is that mountain that's burning with fire, the awesomeness of the event that is taking place. And at the same time, there is a blackness and a darkness that obscures is there, I believe, that shows that great separation between a holy God and a sinful people. He says there was a tempest. He says there was tempest there in the end of verse 18. The word that is there, tempest, it's a word for blowing. It's a word also that's used for the whirlwind. Wind, and the Lord described that in one of his illustrations that it blows where it wants and you don't see it. But you certainly see the effects of it. Certainly we see the destructive force of the winds. I think of course, one of the big events of these last years was when Hurricane Sandy come through and destroyed the whole seashores with their homes and businesses and the massive destruction that was followed in that. That was those hurricanes are just big whirlwinds. The tornadoes can you imagine in this last year, some of the very destructive tornadoes, some of those they say, you know, we often think of a tornado not being so big like a hurricane, but it just takes a small area, and that's what we often think of, and yet seeing some of the pictures of the tornadoes that went through they said up to a mile wide, and the awful destructive force. Can you imagine residents watching a mile wide tornado coming towards them and destroying everything in its place? I don't know what the tempest, but it says that when the people were there and when the Lord is showing his presence, there is a tempest. There is a whirlwind. There is that which is that they're not just seeing those things on the mountain, they're feeling the tempest. They're feeling the whirlwind. They're being moved by the force of the wind. There was before them a demonstration of the destructive power of God that caused them to fear and to shake. God didn't do these things to give them here a demonstration of his love and compassion. They needed to fear. They needed to understand something about him, about the character and the nature of God, something about their sin and how it separates and their responsibility. Beginning in verse 19, it talks of the sound of a trumpet. The sound of a trumpet. There in the midst of that burning, in the midst of the darkness and the blackness, in the midst of the whirlwind, it wasn't just that it was a windy day. You know, I mean, this is that. That's why it's used the word tempest, the whirlwind. But then comes this sound, the sound of a trumpet, the sound of authority, maybe a sound of alarm, a sound of, you know, what's You know, I think of this. Watching some places where the announcement of the emperor. You know, they come out with a with the thing and blowing the trumpets. Attention! Listen! Listen up! I think this is what we see with the sound of the trumpet. There is the people, you must listen. There's something here that is very important for you. Again, this was God as he was coming as the lawgiver to give the law to them. Now their ears are being pierced with the call to listen. A message is coming. In Exodus 20 and verse 18, it says, all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. We see them fleeing from the bottom of the mountain. We see them fearing and standing at a great distance. And then the voice. And the voice of words. And the voice of words. The Lord spoke to them. And the voice which they heard, they entreated. Those that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. You know, now when God spoke, his fear was upon them. His fear was upon them. They were afraid of the words of God. They recognized they needed a mediator. In fact, they call for Moses. They call for Moses we're told in Exodus 20, verse 19. They said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. Oh, how we need to fear. How we need to recognize the place between a sinful man and a holy God. Verse 20, here in our passage, they could not endure that which was commanded. They could not endure that which was commanded. It was something that was beyond them to be able to endure. That's why they called for Moses. Lord, Moses, we help us, Moses. God's words were unattainable. They could now understand a little maybe of how far they were from a holy God. How that their sin had separated them from their holy God. The Israelites were not there saying, oh, I think I've been good enough. I think God will accept me. How many people have you heard say that to you? They think they're good enough. They think what they have. Oh, if sinful man could understand the power and the majesty, not just the majesty, but the holiness of God that cannot stand evil, one who in him is no darkness at all. It says here in this passage that And that was reflected back in the Old Testament that they were not even allowed their animals to come to the touch of that mountain. If they would, they were to be killed. And it said, even as it said to, they should be stoned or thrust through with a dart. They were to be an animal, even that came forth. How we have learned over a period of time that even that nature around us is affected by the fall, affected by the where that the scripture says that all nature groans under the curse that is upon the earth. It says that, and so terrible, verse 21, was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. Moses feared, and Moses quaked. What does he say in Proverbs, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom? Another verse, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That men of our generation could understand the greatness of the holy God and how completely they are separated from Him. Today they see His awesome power displayed, and they deny Him. If they recognize Him at all, they blame Him and they curse Him. But yet how desperately they need the one mediator. There's one mediator today between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. It used to be when there would be some of the natural disasters, we call them natural because they're, you know, just whether they're weather or earthquakes or the lack of rain and famine, when those things would come about, that men would turn to God. Men would call out to the Lord and humble themselves before Him. We live in a day when men don't recognize what God was showing to the Israelites at Mount Sinai. That we would fear our God. But 18 says, for ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, that physical mount of Mount Sinai, but in verse 22, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to all the and to an innumerable company of angels. What a passage of scripture! What a passage of scripture for the believer to recognize the place that God has given you as a believer. Of what has happened in the forgiveness that has come. What has happened in that being a new creation in Christ. What has happened in having peace with God. As I said in the start, the great contrast that there is here. Between where we are not come and where we are come. When you humble yourself before Almighty God. And you come to Him in repentance, trusting the Lord as your Lord and Savior. You can identify not with the children of Israel in these verses that we've gone through as a sinful people that are being and understanding the awesome power and destructiveness of a holy God against a sinful people and seeing Him in His power and that consuming fire that with this end of the chapter speaks about of our God, but coming under the city of the living God. We're going to take a little time and look through those some of the things that are there. But let's just look at them briefly this morning to rejoice in. You have a place in the city of the living God. The scripture talks of us as being citizens of heaven. My citizenship is not here. But I belong. I've got a passport that says, this world isn't my home. but I have that home in heaven. I've got a place reserved for me where the Lord Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. Verse 22 that talks about to an innumerable company of angels going to be there among the heavenly host. Things that I can't even comprehend all that it's speaking of. One thing I do know, and that it doesn't say that I'm going to go be an angel. That's one of the things that's always promoted. It's promoted at when somebody passes. Well, the Lord needed another angel. He didn't need another angel. There's a difference between us. In fact, in Mark, when they were asking about who was going to be, they were talking about marriage and giving in marriage, and some people use that. It doesn't say you're going to be angels in heaven. It says you'll be like the angels in heaven in that there won't be a marriage in heaven. But we're going to be with that company of angels, and we're going to be there amidst the, as part of the bride of Christ, as part of the church, that general assembly, the church of the Lord Jesus, the church of the firstborn, who is the firstborn among many. Because He lives, we also shall live. Who are written in heaven. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Name is written in heaven. And we're going to God, who's the judge of all. Wow. Instead of coming before the great white throne judgment, where they are cast into the lake of fire forever, we'll come before the God of all. And to the spirits of just men made perfect. Oh my. What a blessed thing we have as we look forward, to our God, and looking forward to be with Him. What a contrast between what it says in verse 18 and what it says in verse 22, and then those following verses. A contrast that is there that that causes us to only rejoice in our God. We have a God that is to be feared, to be greatly feared. And yet, a God who has called us to himself. And if you're in Christ, that's why he says many times in this book, examine your faith, make sure you're in the faith. But boy, if you're there, wow. So we are not those that come to the mountain that can't be touched, but we are come. We are come to that place that the Lord has prepared for those that love him. In his presence, in the presence of the heavenly host, in the presence of our God, shall we pray. Oh, thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for revealing your awesome power. At the same time, Lord, to reveal the place that you give when there is peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for this word this morning. Lord, anyone here this morning that is not in Christ, that would recognize in the depths of their soul that they've not truly turned to him, Lord, if there be one here, may they quake in great fear, recognizing where they would be without God. And Lord, your people, cause them to rejoice greatly in the position they have with thee, living with a desire, understanding your holiness, to themselves seek to be unspotted, and Lord, to live a holy life before thee. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.